Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering? We back, baby! I guess an extra hour. It's been about 2 weeks for the year. That was before you work it out. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, back live on the Hall Front, July 29, 2021. You would think because my birthday was yesterday, I wouldn't have to look at the date, but I really wasn't sure what to do. Back on Thursdays, it's been a couple weeks, man. Glad to be back. Glad to be with you. Glad to be back in our home and in our regular studio. Glad to be back to talk to the people. Welcome to the Off-Ramp, a show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. It's a show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, see what's going on in the streets, see what's popping in the hood, you know, just to see, you know, a bunch of topics happen, a bunch of events happen, and we just want to see what people think about the things that happen. That's pretty much it. You know, you get people online all the time, and they tweet, and they Instagram, and they do all these things, but they just don't talk. So this is a place where we get together and we actually talk. We actually have conversation. Good conversation, good healthy conversation. We all don't agree, but we're usually respectful. And we try to be respectful to each other. I mean, it's a lot of jokes to have in here. The good thing is because it's usually a lot of my people. We do have strange people that call. The show is nationally broadcast, so we do have strangers come in, and we usually get into it, but, you know, it's all in good fun. I do keep names hidden. What is it called? Protected? Yeah, keep it protected for, you know, because I don't want anybody getting in trouble. Keep it anonymous. So we have nicknames for all those people. We've got a lot of new viewers. So for those who wonder why I'm calling people by the nickname, not the real name, I want to keep people protected. And in today's society, people can get canceled. So I just want people to be able to express their views without worrying about getting fired from their job. Most people know the real me. I think I'm pretty good. I mean, I do a lot of joking. If you get offended, my apologies, but it's all just jokes. And if you don't like jokes, don't listen. Feel free to call in 929-477-3975. Yo, we've missed a lot. It's been a lot going on these last couple of weeks. But we're going to get right to it. DJ C-Sire, and welcome to the offering. I'm trying not to chew on your ear, yo. I crushed my son's peanut butter crackers.
Good evening. Yeah, those peanut butter crackers are good. Hope y'all are having a good week.
Good. Hello. I got my man New York on the line. New York, what's going on, baby?
Yeah, everything good. Everything copacetic over there. Can't complain. How was the birthday?
It was good, man. It was good. It's definitely, you know me, right? You know I'm going to always pull up. We're going to light up. We're going to have a good time. But the birthday was good. For those of you who don't know, I shouldn't have ate the peanut butter crackers before you asked me a question. I thought you would talk a little bit longer. Pause. But had the birthday party this weekend, whole weekend events. But it was more like a fellowship. You know what I mean, New York? It wasn't really like we was going out clubbing. This was the first time that I would have hung out with the biological side of my family. Right? So I know how my boys act from Maryland. I know how my boys act from Jersey. They intermingle really, really well. I don't know how my biological family would have interacted with them in a club setting, in a drink setting. So, you know, I think DJ C. Siren did a good job with basically making every event kind of like a fellowship. I mean, of course, we all drink. My biological family drinks. I guess is where I get it from. But, you know, it was dope, man. I get more into it. A lot of funny things happen. I had to send one of my folks had to go to the hospital. But God bless him. I mean, no, like, all jokes aside, I'm glad he's all right. You know, I was really worried. But driving drunk at 4 a.m. to a hospital wasn't a good decision for me. Not for him. He's fine. He's fine. But I was driving.
I decided not to even try and stop him. So I just said, go ahead.
Yeah, it was praying going on. And then, you know, I was drunk, you know, because I went to the wrong hospital.
Well,
I went to the right hospital, but I was drunk because I sent them to the wrong hospital. But, you know, the fellowshipping was good in New York. New York, I wish you could have made it down, man. We had a good time. You got my man Blur on the line, Blur in the building. What's cracking?
Good, man. Everything good over here. Glad to be on the show. Thanks for having me. Sorry I couldn't make it to the celebration, but glad everybody's all right. I mean, I need to find a number to mad, you know, the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. I mean, tell them they need to get on your ass. I mean, it's always a good party if you have to send somebody to the emergency room, but, yeah, man, call the ambulance. Don't drive drunk, because then you got more people going to the emergency room.
Well, the funny thing is, his wife took him to the emergency room, just as a friend, because he was in town, because that's my man, 50 grand, that's my family, that's my brother. I said, yo, I'm not going to leave her at the hospital by herself in a strange town, so I'm going to go meet her and sit there with her. The funny thing is, when I finally got to the hospital, it was like, yo, you can't have visitors. So I had to turn my black ass around and come back home. So it wouldn't have mattered. But, yeah, she was straight. So she's the one who took him to the hospital. My drunk ass was just like, yo, I got family in town. I can't let him go to the hospital dolo. I got to show up. So I went to the I drove drunk to the hospital. But, I mean,
Heart was in the right place. But, yeah, that's a bad decision, man. Catch the Uber.
Yeah, horrible decision. Horrible decision. Uber, you know what? That's really – see, that's a sober thought, because I could have easily just called an Uber. And could have paid for it, no problem. That's a good sober thought. I was really just concerned for my man's life. He was way too high. The good thing about me, though, it takes a lot for me to get, like, really, really drunk. When I say I was drunk, like, I was probably past the legal limit. But, you know, I was still straight to drive. It wasn't like I was falling asleep at the wheel. I mean, I feel like I could set the new sobriety limit. Like, I feel like if you give me 20 shots, I can still drive straight. Just me, though. You know. All right, man, but we're going to get into some topics, man. It's been a couple weeks, man. It's been a long time, man. So, Blur, DJ C-Sire, New York, hope all is well, man. But let's knock some of these topics out, man. We got a lot of new listeners tonight. We're going to get into some serious topics, I guess. But let's see what y'all got on the plate. Blur, haven't heard from you in a couple weeks, man. You took a road trip yourself. What you got on the back? Anything you want to rap about?
I mean, before we get to the serious stuff, can we talk about NBA players rocking fake shoes and what makes fake shoes? Like, two stories came out back-to-back days, two stories in 2 days about NBA players and their sneakers. And it's, I don't know, it's making me question some things about the sneaker industry.
So what happened? Catch us up.
All right, so one story, the P.J. Tucker, I want to say small forward, I don't know what the position is, for the Milwaukee Bucks, NBA champion. Story came out about him having the Freak Threes. His teammate, Giannis Antetokounmpo, nailed it.
That's awful.
About having the Greek Freak sneakers before the Greek Freak even seen them. And it was a big story about, because P.J. Tucker is known as being the sneakerhead of all NBA players. Like, he's got the most sneakers. He's got his sneaker plug. It's apparently, like, unmatched. But it got me thinking, like, all right, if he got sneakers before Giannis even had a chance to see him, are they really the Giannis Antetokounmpo's? Because if Giannis ain't signed off on that design, then those might not be real sneakers. They could just be prototypes that never get made. So that got me thinking, is PJ out here rocking fake kicks? But if they come from Nike, are they fake? And then today, a story came out about Kyrie blasting Nike's like, yo, I didn't sign off on these kicks. Nike is making them and putting them out as the Kyrie 7s or the Kyrie 6s or whatever. I don't like these. I didn't sign off on these. I don't want my name associated with these kicks. But they're coming out anyway. So those are official, even though Kyrie don't want them, his name on them. PJ Tucker rocking Giannis kicks, even though Giannis hadn't seen them or signed off on them. So I just find it like a little bit crazy because I'm thinking the Kyries are real, the PJ Tuckers are fake.
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I would say that if you're telling me that PJ Tucker got the sneaks, is the sneakerhead of all sneakerheads, and he got the plug, if Giannis ain't seen him, it doesn't mean that Giannis didn't approve of, you know, the design, and maybe he just got him before Giannis did. Like, why does Giannis got to be the first one with him? They're made from Nike. They ain't made from Giannis. It's made from the third party. It's just got his name on it. And he just got, he getting money for it.
That's what brings me to the Kyrie situation. Because I'm assuming, or at least I did assume before Kyrie, that, hey, if Giannis say, nah, I don't like these, we need to go with a different design, then I would just assume they're going to have to go with a different design. But Kyrie's situation is letting me know that's not necessarily true. Nike going to say, we don't care what you like. We don't care if what you like. These are your shoes now.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I was thinking at first, PJ Tucker rocking fake kicks, but maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about, you know, just the way contract works, it's just naming rights. You know, Nike designs the shoe. They try to have the player's input, but you know, of all, when it comes down to it, Nike's like, yo, I gave you this money for this amount of signature shoe. Like, you got to chalk it up. Like, it's going to be your signature shoe. And I'm pretty sure, you know, they tried to do something with Kyrie, and Kyrie's being a headache. I mean, I don't really know. You know, I don't really, can't really accuse Kyrie of anything. But, you know, they got his naming rights. You don't know, you don't own your own name. You know, Nike got it. So they probably put his name on whatever shoe they want. And if somebody got the plug at Nike, because that's where they made, right? Ain't Nike's made in China?
You might China get and India, I think.
What'd you say?
I believe China and India, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so are Indians considered black? So I've been watching the Olympics. I don't want to get off your topic, Blur. But I'm watching the Olympics, and everybody from India is black. But are they considered black?
India is a very racist country as well. I don't think everybody from India is black. Maybe like America, where some of their better, more talented athletes are of darker skin. But, yeah, I mean, you have dark-skinned Indians, but not all of them are.
A lot of them are black as hell. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but a lot of them are dark.
It's a caste system.
But the dark ones, are they considered black? Like, do they call them black people?
There's black people of India. But no.
So like, an Indian will never say I'm black.
Nope.
That's interesting. Because we're all the same complexion. So why are we black and they're not?
Slavery.
Is that it?
Haha, got it.
Hey, we got some more folks on the line. Blur, I'm going to come back to you. I got my big cuz from Alabama. Big cuz, what's happening?
Man, what's going on? What's going on, man? Had a great weekend. Good to hear everybody's voice. Everybody's doing well out there. Good to hear y'all. Y'all. I'm down in Alabama, right? But, yeah, man. Enjoying myself. Made it back safely. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. I appreciate y'all flying up, man. I can't believe you paid money to get on the flight, man. It's definitely humbling. It's definitely appreciative, man. I'm glad you had a good time hanging out with the family. Really, really good seeing you, your son, man. I look forward to hanging out with y'all more as always, man. But really glad y'all came on up.
Yes, sir.
But
yes, sir.
Do you consider Indians black people?
They don't. They do talk the British English, and I have worked with them. They are very status. They're very status conscious, and no, they do not relate with blacks. They try to compete. They're very competitive and don't want to socialize with us, in my book. Yeah.
So what do you call the dark-skinned Indians? That's it?
Indians, man. Dotheads. I don't know what.
All right. Good hair from Big Country. That's an Alabama. Hey, we got a phone call from Jersey. I don't have the number saved, so feel free to introduce yourself. Give yourself a nickname, and welcome to the offering.
Hey, this is Jeffrey. I was just listening in, trying to see what y'all was talking about tonight. I had a great time down at the party, and I want to continue to wish you blessings and enjoyed your friends. Didn't know you made a hospital run, though. Didn't know that at all.
Yeah, one of my friends had to go to the hospital Saturday night. You bounced about 20 minutes beforehand.
Oh, okay. I didn't know anything about that. And like you said, you was all right doing it. So if you was all right doing it, then everybody else should be all right doing it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining the offering. Like I said, so the rules of the offering, just so everybody knows, they got a lot of callers on tonight. Put yourselves on mute, right? You know, I try to leave everybody off mute on my end, but we got to watch the background noise. Put yourselves on mute, and when you want to jump in, just unmute yourself, jump in. Try not to cut people off, but sometimes it happens. But that's pretty much the rules, so we're going to get into some more topics. Blur, you got anything else?
No, that was it. I found that interesting. I didn't know if anyone else found that interesting. Like, I thought this was like kind of a major development in the sneaker world, but I could be wrong. I mean, I've been seeing cats get accused of wearing fake Jordans and stuff like for decades. Maybe they're not fake Jordans. Maybe they just got a really good sneaker plug.
Yeah, I remember my mom bought me a pair of XJ900s, and they were the fake Jordans. Man, I got clowned so much for those things. And they were comfortable. Like we gotta give these fake sneaker people props. They might have the name brand deal, but they're a lot comfortable than regular Jordans. Because ever since I got some money, DJ C. Siren was looking at me funny because I was buying Jordans like every 2 weeks, and it was the dumbest thing ever. But you know, it's good to finally be able to afford some things you couldn't afford as a kid. So you know, I was buying Jordans, and I wear these Jordans. I just keep thinking, when I just get, regular, bootleg shoes, I bought some Shaqs when I went to New Orleans. Cause, them Shaqs was comfortable, and they were dope, man. And I bought them because we was in, the moment we, one of DJ C. Siren's friends told him, was like, yo, don't wear no good shoes on Bourbon Street. It's a lot of horse shit. It's a lot of liquor. I'm like, yo, I just got the crispy pair of Air Ones. I'm good. But DJ C. Siren was like, nah, let's just get a pair just in case. And I was like, all right, well, I got to get something. You know, at least to match all my flyness that I'm bringing down there. So I bought me some all-white crispy Shaqs at the Payless. We set foot at Bourbon Street one night, and I said, nope, I'm putting my good shoes up. I never wore my Air Ones down there. By the time we were done that week in New Orleans, I left the Shaqs there because they were so bad. They were awful. So, I'm all for bootleg shoes, man.
Bootleg shoes are great. Leather uppers. I mean, sometimes you just need shoes you don't have to, you want to wear and not worry about if they're going to get scuffed, if they're going to get dirty. Because you didn't pay and it's normal. Sometimes you just don't want to worry about these shoes that last forever because I paid, you know, too much for them.
There's nothing better than the fuck it move. And that's what bootleg shoes are. They're the fuck it move. You do whatever you want.
Dude, I used to wear Ruse. And those were like, oh, no, not Ruse. You know, what was the knockoff brand for the kangaroos? I can't remember.
Anybody used to wear kangaroos? I never wore them.
No, I wore PF Flyers.
PFL, yeah, y'all have no soul. Thank God for innovation.
I do remember kangaroos, though. I don't remember the knockoff ones. I remember kangaroos had the little, like, pocket on the tongue when you was, like, a kid, like, put your little dollar in there and hide it. Like, yeah, I remember those.
Wasn't they the Buster Browns?
No, that's when you put a penny in the loafer.
No,
kangaroos, there was a knockoff kangaroo. They were, like, pocket pals. I don't know. It was something. That's the one.
Koalas? What's a knockoff kangaroo? Koala?
Wait a minute.
Just think of another fucked up animal from that side of the world. From that side of the world. Kangaroos and koalas. All right. So we know bootleg shoes while DJ C-Sire looks at what are the bootleg kangaroos. That's got to be a hell of a Google search. All right, man. New York. You got anything you want to discuss tonight?
Oh, no, I'm ready for the topic.
Okay. All right. So first topic I'm going to get into. Oh, Blur, you got anything else before I jump in? I got a lot of
good. Nah, man, let's go.
All right. So we're going to tag these how we attack. You know what I'm saying? So we're about to go on lockdown again, and I feel bad because I just had a party with like 60 people down here, and we got this Delta variant running around causing issues. It looks like it's only fucking up people who haven't been vaccinated, right? But then they just found out that there's a new variant in Florida. There's a whole third variant that they confirmed that was in Florida, and it looks like it's originating from Colombia. And when I was reading the story, I just thought, man, like, you know it's people who's going down there to have sex with, like sex workers coming back with this new variant. Like, what happened to the good old days when you just, like, tried to come back from Colombia without AIDS? Now you got to worry about coming back without AIDS and corona.
And the black herpes.
Well, the black herpes is in India, right? Speaking of black. Where is it at? Thailand. Yeah, that black herpes is real. So are y'all worried about, Blur, I'll go to you first. You worried about the new COVID variances? You think we're headed towards lockdown again?
I'm not worried. I didn't even know about another variant. I don't think we're going to lockdown again. I mean, because it's only the unvaccinated people. So at this point, you just choosing death. But I didn't know that. I got a homegirl who just came back from Cali. Like, she was there getting her teeth done. And she just came back from Cali, Colombia. I'm gonna have to see what's up with that. Like, I had no idea about another variant. That's crazy.
Hold on. Did you say Cali, Colombia?
Yeah. I mean,
those are two different places. California is one place. There's a city named Cali in Colombia?
Oh, my God.
I'm confused. I mean, I don't know that Colombia geography that well. But
I think it might be the biggest city in Colombia, or like the most popular one. Like, I'm trying to think of if I know another Colombia city.
I thought that was like Medellin or something.
Yeah, or
Cartagena and Bogota.
Oh yeah, Bogota. Okay.
I didn't even know that. Bogota, Bologna.
No, Bogota.
Is that where the hippos at? Yo, so you might got that Colombian COVID, yo. You been tonguing her down?
I'm fully vaxxed up, man. I'm good.
I don't mean you ain't got that Colombian COVID.
Nah,
we'll
man.
Talk to you about this.
I got the double Moderna shot, man. I'm good. The M&M, I got Moderna twice.
So you think people getting back who didn't get vaccinated are just choosing death? You think they just at this point it's just fuck it?
Yeah, I mean, you choosing the option to die. So I mean, it's insensitive to say, but I think that's just where it's at. Like, there's enough. I think even the fake news is dying down about the vaccines not working and the side effects. I think even that is dying down. So if you ain't get vaxxed yet, I mean, maybe you're scared. Maybe it's a personal choice. I agree with you. But when you die, that's a personal choice.
DJ Cesar, what you think about the news? You ready to give more booster shots at your job and be all fucked up again?
Can't stand these people.
For those that don't know, DJ Cesar is a healthcare worker. So when Biden decided, when Trump decided to start putting in place getting all these vaccines, and then when Biden came in office and deployed all these vaccines, DJ Cesar's like workday went to hell. So
sucks. But I was just gonna say, number one, and it's funny because I've been sitting here
talk for a minute so I can eat another peanut butter cracker.
I've been sitting here Googling for the last few minutes trying to figure out what the knockoff kangaroos was, and nothing. I couldn't find a daggone thing, and it just dawned on me. So
that's your brother.
No, I already got it. Pack rat. Anyway, so we just had this this HIPAA. So let's see, there was a situation that I heard of. Person came in to see if they got tested to see if they had antibodies from past infection from COVID, and because what all these Americans are coming in to see if there's antibodies in their bloodstream. And if it shows that it's antibodies, meaning that they said that they had COVID before, they're like, all right, cool, I don't need the vaccine. I'm like, listen, you dummies, just because you have antibodies because you got infected doesn't mean it's to the level it's protecting you. You still got to get vaccinated. So they're using this to say, hey, if antibodies show up, then I'm good. I'm like, yo, this doesn't tell you at what level your antibodies are. It could possibly not be protecting you. You still need to get vaccinated. So dude came in today, won an antibody test. Shit came back negative. And he said, I swear to God, God damn it. I told my daughter if it came back negative, then I'd get the vaccine. So he was hoping and praying that shit had antibodies. And he didn't. But he just, like, genuinely pissed that he has to get vaccinated now.
Was he white or black?
White.
Okay. I just want to know if because most black people are scared to get vaccinated.
Yeah, they too, but you know, ain't coming to get tested to see if they got antibodies.
Might as well get the vaccine.
So, do y'all think that they don't believe in the science of the vaccine? Is that what it is?
White people or black people?
Either or.
I think they all believe that
they believe in the science of YouTube.
Yeah.
I think most people, because most people who are against being vaccinated have been vaccinated in their lifetime, and nothing has happened. Like, the one part, I mean, there are some side effects. You know, when we got vaccinated for the chicken pox, like, some of us are going to have shingles when we grow up. It's a side effect, right? But for the most part, if you look just over the history of the world, like, vaccine has saved millions, probably. I don't want to give the hyperbole of billions, but, you know, from the Black Plague on, something as small as, like, chickenpox. Like, chickenpox used to, you know, chickenpox took out the Indians.
Right, it almost destroyed the race.
Yeah, the red dots, not the feathers. No, the feathers, not the red dots.
Yeah.
There you go, the opposite of big cuz. So, you know, vaccines have helped in general, but in the information age where we learn that, you know, the government is run by a lot of fucked up people, I can understand why, you know, people would be hesitant. But it doesn't seem like it'd be one thing if just America had a pandemic. But this is the entire world. Like if you're watching the Olympics now, like Ain't nobody in these Tokyo Olympics. Yeah, ain't nobody in these stands. Like, this is a world thing, so I don't know how you can, unless you're telling me one person is running the world and wants to put a chip in all of us to control us. And again, I've said this to people who I care about, you know, like, why do you think the world power wants to control you if there's, like, nuclear weapons out there? Like, you ain't that important. So, you know, I don't understand why people don't want to get vaccinated, except for the fact that, you know, in this age of everything healthy, cauliflower rice and all this fake food that they're trying to tell you that's healthy, you don't want to put a poison in your body. But like Blair said, you know, you roll on the dice.
Well, you guys are probably too young, too old. But as an older gentleman, we had to get vaccinated just to go to school.
Yeah, I mean that's the case now. I mean, your grandson had to get vaccinated to go to school. Like it's still part of, you know, entering public school system. So I don't understand why people are so crazy with the vaccine now. But I mean, everybody got the. That's the good thing about America now. Everybody got their own choice. You know, like
right. So that's what I'm saying. So do you think or honestly believe that they don't believe in the science of the vaccine, or is they just stubborn, or as the shirt you wear, they just dumb?
I personally believe it's human nature. Like, people have a general fear and distrust of the unknown. And I think for most people, black or white, you're looking, even if it's subconsciously, you're looking for one thing to justify your fear, to give you a right to say no. I was watching a video earlier today, and it was about, like, how to get your way in anything. And it was like, people are comfortable saying no. And it was like, so you start off by getting a question that they'll have to say yes to, or that they'll get to know out the way first. Like, if you want something from your parents or whatever, they're like, oh, you don't want to talk to me right now. They're like, no. I do want to talk to you. And then their next thing, they're more likely to say yes to whatever you're going to ask them for next. It's like, it was from a psychologist. So I think people are looking for their no. I think people are looking for their no. So the first time something pops up.
Do you think the government should make it mandatory?
No, you can't mandate putting something in somebody. You just let them choose to die. I think that's why I don't think we're going to a shutdown. I understood we shut down before because we didn't have any answers to the problem. Hospitals were overrun. People were getting sick and dying. We had to try to mitigate it. Now there is an answer. We have something to mitigate and stop this. Now, if you choose not to take that option, then you're ultimately choosing to deal with whatever happens to you, deal with the repercussions. And so, no, you can't mandate it. Some people just have to die. I mean, it's a choice, but hey.
Let me ask you this, because I'll go to you because you've been quiet on this. Do you think it's fair for employers to mandate it? Like, right now it's this big thing with the NFL and with the NBA and, you know.
Oh, government employees?
Who?
Government employees.
Oh, government employees, yeah. So
if you work at a VA hospital or you work for Social Security and you're in the government building, you have to be vaccinated.
Nope.
Okay, Big Gus, what you got?
Well, you know, I work at a government facility and they leave it at a personal choice. They don't even require people to prove that they're vaccinated. So they had lifted the requirement of wearing the mask in the building, and now people are popping up every week. We get emails that another person tested positive in the building. Clean your area, keep your 6-foot distance. And so now that this morning it was sent out for DOD to everybody has to wear a mask again in the building. But because
Biden and them decided today is if you chose not to be vaccinated, then you will be tested for COVID maybe twice or three times a week. Now, that hassle there, I don't know if people would rather go through that because they don't want to get vaccinated. But you would think on the terms of what the government is deciding, I guess they're really, with doing that, really trying to tell you it's mandatory you get vaccinated.
Because you got a response?
I mean, I don't know what Biden said, and if that's true, I mean, I just wish they were somewhere that they had people to show their cards that they were, you know, got vaccinated. And some people, like Tony, my son went and got vaccinated, and where he went, they didn't give him a card. So it's just an out of control.
I guess we're definitely missing some consistency. New York, you got anything?
No, I'm just listening, but I just learned a new piece of information. Hold on, before we get back in this COVID talk. Sorry, but you said black herpes. What is that? I'd never heard about that before. What is that?
So they got this herpes. So a lot of DJ C Sirens peoples, right? They got a. I don't want to put anything that might give her idea. I just said her. She worked in the Navy. She don't work in the Navy no more, so it's cool. But she worked in the Navy. She's a health professional. I'm trying to make sure that no one can pinpoint her. But, you know, when these ships go to these, you know, Far East places, you know, a lot of these Asian cultures, like, your prostitution is legal. It's part of it, right? Even the Spanish cultures, you go to Colombia, you come back with that AIDS and that Colombia COVID, right? You know, a lot of third world countries, you know, sex is the oldest job in the world. But they got this herpes out there in Thailand, and where it's like it just can't be cured and it can't be like contained. So if you test positive for it, they won't let you back on the ship to come back to America. And I don't know if she said she had to tell a couple sailors, yo, you can't get back on the boat. But I know she was talking about it, and they were saying, like, yo, they're giving out condoms on the boat because they said if you get this black herpes, you will be left in Thailand. And that's it. Like, you can't come back. So... You know, and it's called the black herpes. Why everything black got to be so bad? Why can't we call it the white herpes? I wonder if it makes your balls black. If anything made my balls blacker than they already are, like, I'd faint. I tell people all the time, I tell my son, like, you better get used to your own meat, yo. It's going to be the best friend of your life. If you can't take care of your own balls, then you ain't got much survival. You ain't got much chance of surviving life.
You were saying something about them third world countries. Do you think that's a part of their genocide or population control or
what, the black herpes?
Yeah, like in them third world countries you're talking about where this stuff is to the point to where if you got it, you can't come home. And if they got it over there, then I guess they got an X on their forehead. Is that population control, genocide, or whatever? Because something like that, you got to figure that got to be distributed to them people. That ain't nothing you just get. You know, they gave it to some people to give away.
See, now that's conspiracy theory. I think when you just have a whole bunch of poor people, you have a whole bunch of horny people, the people with the money are always going to pay for having sex, especially when they don't know how to talk to girls or talk to guys. It's just easier to pay for sex. And you have a whole bunch of strangers far from home who are willing to pay for cheap sex and as often as you can, you're going to end up getting different type of viruses and diseases. Go ahead, DJ.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with population control. You have to know just the fundamentals of what viruses do, what bacteria and viruses do. And when you find, and it's actually black gonorrhea, but
there you go, black gonorrhea.
So when you have some type of infection that can be cured, there's always a chance for that. And it's the same thing with COVID vaccine. That's why we have these different variants. It grows, it learns. I mean, bacteria is small, you can't see it, but they grow fast and they change. And so when something changes, when you try and treat something and it works before, after so many generations of this bacteria, it changes. It changes to the point where what we use to treat it doesn't work anymore. And you have to get something different, stronger, better to cure the next generation, we'll say. So it happens naturally with all kinds of viruses, all kinds of bacteria. It's not just gonorrhea, but it's the common cold, it's sinus infections, it's all these things. And when treatments aren't used conservatively and correctly, when people aren't vaccinated, things like that, it mutates. And that mutation causes usually a stronger strain that now you have a problem with. So gonorrhea can be treated, but this is a new strain of gonorrhea because the treatments that we usually use no longer work. So that's not them creating some new gonorrhea. That's just how
gonorrhea makes your dick burn, right?
Yeah.
Man, if your dick is burning every time you pee.
But it's not just that. It's just when it hits the bloodstream, it can cause serious infection. And it's...
Your dick burning is a serious, serious infection.
No.
That is an issue if your dick burning.
Are we done on black gonorrhea? So, hey, go get your COVID shots. Don't go to Columbia. Hey, Blair, I'm going to pray for you since you got a friend who just came back from Columbia. Did she just get a new body? I just assume everyone that goes to Columbia is either getting COVID, a new body, or hanging with the hippos.
Nah, ironically, she is an Instagram model. Her body's not – she's actually natural, but, yeah, her body is tight. But nah, she went there to get the teeth, man. You know, the Love and Hip Hop teeth with the big smile. I didn't even think her smile was all that bad. Like, I didn't think her teeth was messed up, but I guess she wanted to get the big teeth.
They don't like dentists.
Well, damn, it cost them more to go there to get teeth than it did to go to a damn dentist, didn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what her insurance situation is, but veneers is expensive, man. Those things are expensive as hell. And all that stuff is cheaper out of country. Like, she had a nice little resort she was staying in and everything.
I guess Instagram modeling doesn't have insurance. No dental insurance for Instagram models. Yes, veneers are expensive. I paid for two. I paid for white
teeth. Oh, yeah, Cheryl got fake teeth. DJ C. Siren. DJ C. Siren's got some work done to her mouth. That was before my birthday. Go ahead. I just had to get
that joke. It is expensive, but I guess I never really thought when you think of going out of the country to have work done, it's always cosmetic surgery, but not. I never thought about teeth.
I can tell you this much, and I'm speaking from experience. My damn teeth ain't cost me a plane ticket.
Well, mine first class. First class
to
Japan right here.
Yeah, I've seen DJ C-Side teeth prior to after. I didn't meet her until like halfway after. But when she showed her cape pictures, I said, oh, shit.
Hey.
You were cute, but your teeth were fucked up. It's hereditary. It wasn't your fault. Blame your dad.
I do.
But... All right, cool. Anybody got anything left on Columbia or black gonorrhea before we move on to the next subject? We got burnt these stops, man.
Let me just say this real quick about the I forgot what that shit's called. Corona. Yeah. I don't think the government can't say that, especially when we're talking about like the NFL and NBA players, because you fucking with the money. Like, the same thing when old boy, the rookie, brought the girl into the hotel from Seattle, and he got cut immediately. And people were like, yo, that's stupid and everything. Like, he's fucking with the money, especially with the new rules where it's like, if it's an outbreak, we're not postponing games. Your team just forfeits, and neither team gets paid. Like, no, you're fucking with the money. Like, nah, like maybe, you know, Tom Brady could pay for everybody's salary for that week. Russell Wilson might be. I mean, but the average player, you were fucking with the team's money because you want to play games with your health. That's cool. Take your choice. But when you get run the opportunity or the risk of infecting every someone else here, maybe if it's just one person, are you getting tested positive and being sick, and now everything got to shut down? Like, one NFL game stimulates a city's economy, like, a lot. Like, nah, like, I'm all for it. Like, they can't make it mandatory, but they can say, yeah, you start fucking with the money, we can't fuck with you. Which makes
sense.
Yeah,
but, I mean, and saying that, one person who decides they don't want to get the shot coming to a government building to go to work and infect everybody in the building, that's fucking with the money.
That's true. So do you agree sports like NFL, should they require players, if they're going to play, to get the COVID shot, Blair?
No, I don't think you can make it mandatory for anybody. I don't think you mandate it for anybody. But I see how they're trying to go around that by saying, all right, look, it's not mandatory, but if you don't get it, you got to follow these same restrictions that we had last year, which in turn makes it almost impossible for you to do your job. I think it was Minnesota or somebody else, the coach just quit. He quit. It's like, because they're making it impossible for you to do your job.
No, he didn't quit. They fired him.
I don't think they fired him. I thought he resigned.
No, they fired him. But they didn't fire him. They put him in a different part of the establishment, the organization. But, he can have no player contact or nothing.
Exactly.
He went upstairs, and they finally gave him an office on the far end of the building.
Exactly. Like, if you're not going to get – we can't have you willingly taking a risk with these players. Like, we can't have you in a linebacker meeting or, like, who was it? Was it Tennessee or somebody who had the whole quarterback room catch it and now you had a wide receiver playing quarterback? Like, we can't have you in close proximity with these position groups. So now you can't do your job unless you're going to coach via Zoom. And, like, nah, you're not going to be effective.
Exactly.
How come chicks can't take apologies? How come when you say sorry to a woman, they still got to be all mad and upset and give you all this drama? Why can't bitches just say, okay, I forgive you?
It ain't their nature.
I mean bitches in a good way. I was letting y'all have this conversation, but I had to apologize to DJ. She's tired and she busted me out. The whole time y'all were talking, I was like, yo, how many times I got to say sorry? Like, I said sorry. Like, why can't you just forgive me at that point?
Because they just like the police. They can catch you, but they still want a confession.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's crazy, though. All right. So next topic. We got to burn through these, man. It's been a long time, man. Let's just get this out the way, man. Simone Biles. Let's have this conversation. It might be quick tonight. I'm not letting too many people on because we got a lot of topics and we only got an hour left. Simone Biles decided to bow out of the Olympics. Well, out of her team
competition.
I guess the team event of her competition. She's still going to do her individual ones from last
year. No, she dropped out of that, too.
She dropped out of that, too. She home.
Oh, she back. Okay, so, Blur, I'll go to well, Big Cuz, you've been quiet. Is Simone Biles a quitter?
I was surprised because I saw her come out there with them. She did that one event. She was not on point. She really felt the pressure of not executing. And she didn't want to do it anymore. Now, I know the pressure, the stress, knowing all the people in the world are watching you, then it's a psychological effect. I don't know. I got to look back, and this happened to the other sister that's playing tennis. It's from Japan. Yeah, it's real. I mean, the stress is bad. So,
Well, believe it or not, I don't think it had anything to do with that. She said mental health issues, but with the way they turning up with COVID over there, I think she got ghosts because of that.
Good point. Possible.
So, all right. So you don't think so? Okay. Blur, you think she's a quitter?
I wouldn't call her a quitter because, I mean, just like anything, like doing something once don't define you. I do think she quit just by definition. She dropped out, so she quit. But that doesn't make her a quitter per se. But, I mean, I won't say upset because, I mean, who am I to be upset at her? But my biggest problem or concern with her dropping out is timing. I was on here a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, "Yo, she's in St. Louis for the trials." She didn't look good then. Like, I think I might have came on here and said it afterward. And I know I told the people here, like, "Yo, she's gonna have to come back. Like, she owes St. Louis a better performance." They even said it on the news out here. Like, she didn't look good in the trials. She still won. Obviously, she still was the top performing female athlete in the Olympic trials. She just didn't look good. So maybe, like, when do you decide? I ain't got it. Like, that was my, like, big thing. Like, all right, you got there, you attempted one thing, and then you're like, you know what, I ain't got it. So I don't know if you applaud her for, like, giving it a shot to even, like, yo, I'm going to try to fix this, I'm going to try to make it happen, and then get there, like, yo, I ain't got it. Or do you, like, and I heard other people, like, some, like, political people talking about, nah, she should have never went over there if she wasn't going to compete. Like, do you drop out early, like, yo, I ain't got it. I'm bow out and let someone else go over there and take a maybe got a better shot of winning gold without me. I think like with James Harden and other people, like, are you hurting the team trying to perform when you're not 100%?
Well, do you think maybe it might have been her concern for her best interest in her health, seeing what was going on around her, like, yo, I need to step off because I don't want this.
Well, hold on. Before we move the conversation forward, I just want to get other people's opinions on if they think he quit. I got my man, New York. What do you think? You think Biles quit?
I wouldn't say quit. I think she just had her best interest at heart, and whatever she felt that she needed to do, she did it. I can't necessarily say that's quitting or giving up, but I mean, that health comes first, and whatever you deem necessary, you got to put yourself first in that position, especially if you on a team and then you competing in a team, you know what I mean? If you don't think you on your best A game and it's having an effect on that, you know what I mean? Yeah, you got to put yourself first.
DJ Cesar?
No.
Good job. Hey, I got my man. Your nickname is gonna be Bobby Zona. You should know who I'm talking about. My man who got the best gym in Colonial Place. Welcome to the offering. Good to hear from you. What's your opinion on Simone?
Bobby.
Hey, Bobby Zona. That's what I'm calling you.
A Bobby. I think you said Bobby.
Bobby.
Right, we're still talking about Simone, correct? All right.
Say that again?
You have to look at the fact that she's turning herself into a human projectile, flinging herself in the air, and if she's not on her game, that's serious injury. I mean, life-changing injury.
Yeah, I agree. Well, go ahead.
I mean, she's being smart about it. You look at they've been showing the videos of what's her name back who had the broken ankle or messed up ankle and she still did her second vault. We applaud her. Then you listen to the video about her coach pushing her. You know, it's Simone Biles is the smart one. Things are changing. You're not on display.
That was Mary Lou, right?
Nah, it was shit, now you're going to make me go. Am I allowed to swear? Fuck. Sorry.
Shit, am I allowed to swear? Fuck. Yeah, you good, bodybuilder. Say what you got.
This isn't Wavy 13.
But we expect these.
Same with any pro athlete, football, basketball, baseball, soccer, any of it. You expect them to just keep beating themselves up because they're there to entertain us. It's like, you know, fuck that shit. They're not. You can appreciate what they do and respect what they do and like watching what they do, but they're not yours.
Okay. So this is where it gets to be an interesting conversation for me. As a college athlete, you are basically taught to play through injury. Is it because you're entertaining other people? No. To be honest, no. You're taught to play through injury because your teammates need you. If you're not going to be at a detriment to the team. So when the Simone Biles story first came out, I will admit, I was like, yo, it sounds like she's quitting on her team. It sounds like she doesn't have it mentally. Like Blair said, she wasn't on her game in St. Louis, but she chose to go to Tokyo anyway. I mean, because she still won. So that was my standpoint. Simone Biles at 50% is still better than all them other motherfuckers out there at 100%. So as Simone Biles' teammate, I didn't like, yo, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you. I hope you get better. Bring your ass out here and help us win a goal. That was until.
Before you move on, real quick, I don't want to interrupt you, but before you move on, let me ask
you
a question. I was having that same thought. Did you have that same feeling of reaction when people were saying that to Derrick Rose?
What did Derrick Rose do? I thought Derrick Rose raped a girl with Isaiah Thomas and they were in court. And, like, I thought that derailed his career. Derrick Rose got a lot going on. People don't remember Derrick Rose in Chicago. I do. I just don't know what situation Blair's talking about.
When he got hurt and people were like, yo, you've been out long enough, come back. And he was like, no, I got to protect my family and my future. And they're like, nah, even if you're not 100% yet, you're better than what we got. I don't know what you're talking about. But
even that argument is you're not at 100%, but you're still better. But if you're not at 100%, then you're more at risk to get fucked up even more.
See, and that was the caveat to me, because when I first heard the story, I didn't think it was a risk to injury. I thought it was just a risk to her not performing as well. My opinion changed on this when DJ Cesar, she showed me, you know, what they were talking about. And it was like, nah, yo, like her not being in it mentally means she could break her neck. And I was like, oh, yeah, she needs to tap out. Because injury isn't worth it if you're talking about, like bodybuilders say, she's a human catapult, right? And if you're telling me that she's getting lost in air and doesn't know where she's at and she could just land anywhere, nah, baby, tap out. Go home and get yourself together. You've had a great run. It's over. But we do have to have this discussion of mental health, mental weakness, mental strength within athletes and just within human beings.
We'll go back to your example of how you felt like even if you were injured, you had to work through it to help the team. But there's also an aspect there of this masculinity thing. Tough it out or you're a fucking pussy. And that you have to address that.
I mean, absolutely. And watch your background noise, everybody. Don't forget to mute yourself if you're not talking. Like I said, I try to keep everybody on the show unmuted. I rely on y'all to mute yourselves so that when you jump in, just unmute yourself and jump in. But bodybuilder, you're right. There is a masculinity to it, but a lot of women athletes are the same way. Like, I mean, when I first got in trouble, that's not a gender thing.
Masculinity or alpha. Use alpha term. You're one of these top motherfuckers. You're expected to do what it takes to get the job done, not to do what it takes to make sure you don't fuck yourself up.
And you're expected to do it under any circumstances.
Correct.
But isn't that why we love people like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul, and Venus Williams, and you know who's that women's swimmer who just got who last year, who had the bitch face?
Ledecky?
Ledecky. Like because no matter what was going on, they were able to focus. They were able to get the job done. They were able to play through pain. Yeah, Michael Jordan, I mean, I guess he quit on basketball when he lost his dad, but he came back and still won championships. You know, Kobe still, like, isn't that the reason why we love the idea of Kobe shooting foul shots even on the torn Achilles? Because he's fighting other stuff?
I think what you're pointing out, even in your examples, what you're pointing out is a difference in generations. And this is something I think I mentioned it in our group text about LeBron going Zero Dark 30. I used to think it was doing it for him, like saying like, oh, this is just for me. I don't want to talk with the media. I don't want to deal with the media. But maybe it's for him to like get all negative thoughts out of his head and then keep that away from him so he can stay focused. Jordan didn't have Twitter, Instagram, and stuff like that. He had newspaper and ESPN where they loved him. And I don't even think ESPN was probably like ESPN News at certain points where you just had a ticker at certain times. Like even early on in Kobe's career, like the distractions that, especially Simone Biles, that was 24, she's been doing it for 12 plus years. So she's in like these younger people growing up in the social media, internet, everything quick and everybody has access to you day and age is different type of toughness than what Jordan had to deal with, even though he walked away, what Kobe had to deal with. But
my man is right on the spot about that. You're pegging it right there.
Yeah, and like, she's talking about
it.
Just millions of people like commenting and saying stuff to her like all the time. Like, it's easy to say, and I guess for people of my generation, like at 40 years old, to say, hey, just get off the phone, throw it away, or stay away from it. It's not that hard, especially when you've had that your entire life. Like, I mean, at 24, I don't think she's ever known a life without, I would say not without phones, but without smartphones. I don't know exactly when smartphones came about. But I think smartphones, like you think about, like, BlackBerry and stuff, I think BlackBerry's about 20-plus years old. Simone Biles is 24.
That's
like, she doesn't know well without having, like, immediate connection to everything. So I think that changes it a little bit. That's why you see, like, the tennis chick and, like, the younger generation being more in tune to this. Be like, yo, it's too much. And we need to find a way to take a break. I mean, hopefully they find it, but I think they're just facing different challenges than the past generation who also found a way to take breaks from physical stuff. But, I mean, different challenges. So you got to handle it differently.
But I don't understand the problem when people complain about, like, Blair, what you're saying, oh, we need a break, we need a break. Yo, take a fucking break. Get off the phone. Like, why do people feel like...
I think you're missing his point. Is they don't, as public figures, they don't have that option. And the sheer pressure they've got to be under, I couldn't even imagine. You walk out your door, and you're a walking target for anybody to come up and talk to you. I would go insane.
Yeah, you don't like anybody. Rotten daughter. Well, not like even.
This reminded me of a magazine article I read a while ago with Justin Timberlake. He went undercover at Comic-Con a couple years ago. Like, this was past his prime, but he was still Justin Timberlake. And he was like wearing like a big Beavis and Butthead costume. Him and the person was interviewing him. And the guy was like, yo, we should take these off right here because they were like standing behind the people who were doing karaoke and singing in Justin Timberlake's song. And he said he can hear it in Justin Timberlake's voice. He's like, no, please do not do that. Like, if people see me, Justin Timberlake, right now, it's over for me. So, like, that type of pressure, like, just the thought of people seeing him right then scared the shit out of him. And I don't know if, like, Simone Biles or anybody else is like Justin Timberlake level of a pop star. I mean, athlete, pop star, probably not on the same level always. But I'd imagine like for a 24-year-old girl in the middle of the Olympics with the whole country, since there is no Sha'Carri Richardson, USA was kind of resting on Simone Biles carrying it as far as like media coverage and just access. I mean, she probably was like, yo, this is like, she probably felt like Justin Timberlake when that San Diego Comic-Con. Like, yo, please, please, like, give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what y'all are saying. And I'm a bit distracted because I'm watching judo and a bodybuilder. You're into this stuff. Yo, judo ain't nothing but grabbing each other up like your grandma used to grab you up. We used to steal money
out
of
the purse.
But
it's also leverage and momentum. You're using gravity as a tool, but you're also moving somebody else's body in very small, specific ways that take them completely off balance, and then you throw them or toss them or take them down. It's super beautiful to watch in slow motion, but it is brutal live. The shit ain't gentle as fuck. They say the gentle art, bullshit. It is fucking brutal.
I just feel like this is the way my grandma used to treat me. I don't know if she knew judo or not. But why do they do all this judo wrestling with these big-ass coats and pants on? I feel like that just makes it easier.
That's your
gi.
Now, also, but at the world championship, you know, the really high-level stuff where they have competition, they also have what's called no-gi, where you're wearing, like, board shorts and a rash guard or just board shorts shirtless, and that takes that whole – but the gi itself is a weapon. And, look, I'm a newbie at that shit. I'm not the guy that knows everything, but, like, your gi, the lapels that are, like, really stiff and stitched up extra layered, you grab that when you're around somebody and you use that to apply pressure. The gi is a weapon.
Oh, okay. Shout out to bodybuilder for the judo conversation.
Bodybuilder, I told him it was a gi.
I believe you. I've seen Karate Kid. Nah, I don't think I have seen Karate Kid. Karate judo, all the same thing. It's all Buddha.
Kind of tag.
But, yeah, man. So, hey, in all seriousness, no. You know, even though we talking about the Simone Biles situation, even though I had my criticisms at first, it was just my opinion. Once I found out, like, yo, when they said her head's not in it, it can rest, like, her phone and, like, break her leg.
It's called the twisties. And it happens in diving, and it happens whenever there's a rotational move, so diving and gymnastics. And it is where your spatial recognition is just gone.
We call that vertigo, don't we? Ain't it just like vertigo?
No.
Yeah, that shit happens to me when
it's dizzy.
Yeah, I don't understand why you people like roller coasters. It messes me up. I get the
your inner ear, you know that you have no inner ear about.
Has been knocked in the head too many times. It's some big chicks doing judo. I don't have no problem.
I was gonna say, did they move off the weight class?
It's some big. It's some big mamas. I don't have no problems. All right, man. So that's enough on Simone Biles for me. I hope wherever she's at. I didn't realize that she dropped out of everything. That says a lot to me. That changes a lot for me. I hope she's okay mentally. I hope this isn't one of those things where. I mean, all right, let me ask you a quick question, because somebody said, I think it was you, bodybuilder, and said you couldn't imagine that much pressure, but she just had the same amount of pressure 4 years ago. What changed for Simone Biles 4 years ago versus this year that's added pressure?
COVID.
What's COVID mean? Because
she over there, she's afraid to get that, she's afraid to get it.
I mean, she can get it here.
Yeah, okay, she can. She's vaccinated and everything, but it's not like it is over there.
Yeah, COVID started over there, we think.
Yeah, yeah, it's so bad over there, they're not even letting people nowhere near the place. That's how bad it is.
Okay. Anybody else got anything? Anybody engage
my
question?
She's looking at her legacy. Because I think, and I don't pretend to know the history of women gymnastics. I don't know, like, she's already the GOAT, which I wonder if, like, her with the slippers and the unitard and everything with gold on it. I'm starting to wonder, like, maybe that wasn't her decision to put that on there. Maybe that's, like, Nike or somebody making a decision for her. But I think she's looking like, yo, this is it. This is my final one. And, like, you can press. Like, that's why coaches always say, hey, treat it like any other game. Do just like every other game. Well, a lot of coaches say that, like, to try to take the pressure off the athlete. But I think it's because she knows this is her final Olympics. She knows this is her last go-around. And I think it's, like, more pressure. Like, yo, if you go out now and if you, like, bang, go out, another gold, all-around gold medal, gold on this, gold on this, gold on this, like, you set yourself up for life. Because, again, I think 4 years ago we were looking at her, like, peaking or ascending. But you got to, like Jemaine, you got to stick the landing. If you don't, like, if she goes out there and she falls and breaks her neck, or if she, like, goes out there and performs well and she's rolling all over the thing and she doesn't medal, you're taking a GOAT-level career and dropping it off a cliff. Like,
no.
She might have her own line of Nike gymnastics shoes, or she might be the next person to have their own cartoon.
No.
Unless she does something horrible. So I think the pressure, even though she was on top 4 years ago, I think it's a different kind of pressure now, because now you're looking at legacy and setting yourself up for what happens next.
No, even if she didn't do anything for this Olympics, she still would be considered the greatest gymnastics we ever seen. Not
yeah.
the sexiest one, because that goes to, who's my girl from the 90s?
Dominique Dawes.
Yeah, boy. Dominique, man, I'd have sucked her toes. Dominique was the one.
I don't know, man. I don't think, like, top performers,
that was
I still think you got to go out a certain way. Like, I know in certain, like, team athletes, like, we might not remember Jerry Rice with Seattle at the end of his career when he had cornrows. Or we might not remember Shaq going to, like, 11 different teams at the end of his thing. But you only get, especially with three Olympics, like, you got two great and you got one horrible, like, that's still a blemish on your record that's going to stand out. If you don't finish strong, like, I mean, I do agree that her legacy is still going to be she's the greatest of all time. She was doing things no one else would do. And then every time they're like, oh, damn, did y'all see her last performance when she bolted and she rolled over and had to tumble and stumble? Like,
no. You're lying. What about the chick who runs track, Allyson Felix? No one cares that she sucks now.
Because she doesn't really suck now. And she changed events. Like,
no.
She's doing it just the same way like Usain Bolt tried to come back and change events. Like, Allyson Felix ain't even running the same events when she came in. She's showing how great that she truly is. Like, look, I've dominated one event. I can't do that anymore. I'm now trying to dominate another event. Like, she's going out in the Olympics. After
but
having
she
a kid.
Barely qualified. She barely qualified where Simone Biles won her trial. Stop being on both sides of the fence. You can't say that one affects one legacy and one doesn't affect the same thing when they're both in the Olympics. Simone Biles won her trial. She's now out. Even if she lost the Olympics, her legacy of being the greatest gymnast ever wouldn't have changed because her stats still would have been up to everybody. You still wouldn't have won her stats. Even
but
if
again,
she lost
they
one.
Let me ask you this.
Hold on, Peyton Manning
is always going to remember as one of the greatest quarterbacks.
Yeah. Hold on, Blair. Let me let New York jump in, because me and me going back and forth, and I've ignored the public, and I apologize. Blair, I'm going to let you go back at me. Let me get my man New York in this.
Oh, no, I'm good. I like listening to the sports conversation.
So who was that, bodybuilder who was trying to jump in? I'm sorry.
I think
go ahead,
if you go back to your original question is when she was 20 in 2016, you could almost say she was an innocence or naivete of what was coming ahead. At 20, even though she was well known, that's when she really came on the international scene. I agree with my man that the pressure is different. I just think that the reasons for it are she's now more seasoned. She's hardened almost to what the fuck's going on versus 4 years ago. It was like, fuck, this is great. I just got to go out there and do my shit, and I get all this attention. It's two different mindsets. She's 4 years older, but she's a different person.
You know what the problem was? She got some dick. Or...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know her size. I don't know if she's a little X. Little Nas X side or R side.
I know, her boyfriend looked like a football player, or at least her old boyfriend. She used to date this light-skinned dude with, like, Samoan-type hair, this big buff dude. Now she dated a basketball player.
See, that's the problem. That's what happened. She got some dick, and it ruined her food. Hey, it happens to the best of us. I ain't even knocking. I hope it makes it happen. It happens to the best of us. It's the reason why I'm not a millionaire now. Why? Pussy. It ruined me.
Because you got some pussy?
Yeah, yeah. The women are ruining you in college. Women are ruining you. It makes you lose focus. All right, so that's all I got on Simone Biles. Man, I got to come up with a nickname for you. I'm going to call you Pink Gator tonight because I don't want to put your I know you said your real name, but I don't want to put your real name out there. So I'm going to call you Pink Gators. That's what you rock this weekend. You got anything left on Simone Biles?
No, I don't have nothing left on her.
Blur, you got anything?
I do want to reference you saying that Mike Tyson was one of the greatest of all time. Look at how Mike Tyson ended his career when he said he just didn't have it anymore. Look at how Simone Biles is like, yo, I'm not going out in the ring because I just don't got it right now. Very similar situation. People thought Mike was the best of all time. People think she's the best of all time. Different from Allyson Felix because nobody said Allyson Felix is the best of all time.
What the fuck are you talking about? I said Mike Tyson wasn't one of the top boxers of all time. And I said if we went heavyweight, I would have to really look at top 10. But if we went all-time boxers, Mike's not in the top, like, 30. That has nothing to do with this conversation. What the fuck are you talking about, Blur?
So you say he's not in the top? Do you say he's not one of the greatest of all boxers of all time? Has nothing to do with the way he ended his career? Because I know you ain't saying that just on the way he was knocking people out in the beginning of his career.
No, it has everything to do with who he fought, when he fought, and how he won. He didn't beat
them. Damn, because he was fighting bums.
He didn't have no classic fights against no great heavyweights and won. I'm not getting into it with this, Blur. That's why I wish you were here this weekend so I could fight you in person. I'm not getting into this with you tonight. But that has nothing to do with anything. That's a terrible parallel. It's a terrible parallel. All right.
It's probably the most exact parallel because he was the greatest in his sport, and he said he just didn't have it anymore, and he was in the ring risking his life. And you could tell he didn't have it anymore. He was out there fighting. If he had actually been fighting somebody toward the end of his last year where they had, like, five fights lined up for him, like, Mike is going to make a run to the belt. And he went out there, and he just, like, could barely lift his arms up. He out there just hugging on the dude. And the dude took it easy on him. The big dude who, like, Bam Bam Bigelow just took it easy on him because you could tell Mike just didn't have it. And he came like, yo, I'm done. I'm done. I don't have it. And if you in the ring doing that, it could be over for you. If you on the balance beam and you land on your neck like that, it's over for you.
So when did Mike not have it? Before he went to jail and he lost to Buster Douglas or after? I'm not having this conversation with you on boxing because I don't think you researched enough of Mike Tyson fights to know that Mike Tyson, when compared to the history of boxing, at one point, boxing was what football is to America. There's been a lot of great boxers. Mike ain't in the top 30. Now, if we want to specifically do heavyweights, I don't think he's in the top 10, but I have to really sit down and look at heavyweights, the heavyweight division. But all-time boxers, Mike's not in the top 30. I don't even think that's up for the discussion.
You're bugging. That's not up for discussion.
We'll have that discussion later. We got too much stuff to talk about. Do you have anything left on Simone Biles?
Nah, man. I hope she gets well. I hope she gets able to focus. Like, losing focus. Because I was talking to some people about it at my job, man. I just made a list of, like, a mental list of, like, people who checked out. I want to say it was a dude on the Boston Red Sox. He was, like, playing shortstop, and he checked out, and he had his back to the field, like, right where the pitcher was pitching. Imagine a ball getting hit him in the back of the head. Like, you got to be able to focus. Like, if you lose focus in almost any sport, it could be a wrap for you. So I hope she figures out a way that she can focus and she really able
to end her career the way she wants to.
Bodybuilder, you got anything left on Simone?
Nah, we're good.
New York, you got anything?
No, I'm solid.
TJC Siren? Nope. I just hope she gets healthy. I wish as a sports fan, as a person who really enjoyed her career, because I don't give a fuck about gymnastics, honestly. It's just not anything that I care about. But as a person who loves the Olympics, I was one of those casual fans who sat and watched the Olympics and really enjoyed her career. I wish that she could have went out on top and got another gold. Or I wish that if she lost, like she lost trying and people still would have gave her a standing ovation. It sucks that she lost due to like mental reasons. Like she's got to tap out and now she's got to deal with all this. And I hope she's just okay. It's the same thing I said about Sha'Carri Richardson when she, you know, smoked weed, you know, and that whole conversation. Like, I just hope she's okay. The tough part about these conversations is that people get all mad, oh, you don't support this and this and this, we need to support and all this. It's not about support or not, because I have no idea who she is. I have no idea who Simone Biles is. I don't know really anything else beyond just what I see on TV. I wish I could have seen her perform on TV because I love seeing great people do great things. And it's just the same that we don't get a chance to see it. But I just hope she's all right. I hope wherever she's at in life that she gets herself together and she's had it. If she comes back in another 4 years and bows out gracefully, that'd be dope. If she never does gymnastics again, it makes no difference to me because I never cared about gymnastics in the beginning. I'm still going to watch America next year because I love the polo suit jackets. But I just hope she's okay. But speaking of Olympics, I want to talk about the Olympics. Are y'all paying attention to the Olympics? Shout out to my man who hooked me up with a cable because I see all the Olympic Games, and I have a couple observations. I love women in volleyball shorts. It's tough to separate it from the women in the rugby shorts. I feel bad if these women are forced to wear these shorts for sexuality reasons, but man, their thighs look amazing. Beach volleyball women. You would think that would be the sexiest of them because they're just bikinis. Doesn't look that great. I don't know why, but it's not. I watched the women's beach volleyball, and, you know, they got the little bikinis on. They don't look that great. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the shape of the body. Overrated. If you look at the beach volleyball women compared to the volleyball women, the beach volleyball women in their bikini shorts versus the volleyball women's shorts, the volleyball women's shorts are just indoor. Yeah, the indoor volleyball women's shorts are just phenomenal. They accentuate the thigh muscles and the quads. It's amazing. And I think I've been in love with volleyball women's shorts since college. But, you know, rugby, such a great sport to watch. I don't know why we don't watch more rugby. I know we have regular football. Rugby is nonstop action. Badminton. Who the fuck knew badminton would be as exciting? Table tennis. I thought that Forrest Gump shit was fake. These Chinese people really out there getting it like this. They are out here Forrest Gumping it for like 7 sets. It's amazing. And Olympic boxing. Olympic boxing is phenomenal. 3 rounds, and they just go at it. So I thought these, I don't know how America's really doing overall in medals, but this is the first time I've really got to watch the odd part of the Olympic Games that aren't on regular TV, and it's been absolutely phenomenal. So I guess my question to the crowd is, have y'all watched anything other than, like, swimming for the Olympics, and what y'all think?
The archery.
Pink Gator, go ahead.
The archery, that was phenomenal. I was like, man,
So I had a question about the archery. Why do they got that big ass dick thing on the front of the archery stick? Is that cheating?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I need to see somebody out there with a piece of wood and a string and see if they can hit a target. I feel like all the shit that the archers got on is cheap. But it's good, too. It's good, too. Because they be hitting them yellow dots like shit.
That's what I'm saying. I was watching, and I was like, my God. And they don't even have a scope on their joints.
Well, one of them dudes had, like, a little, like, they had, like, the little cyborg eye. They had, like, a little, what they have on their glass? I don't know. That shit was nuts. Yeah, but archery's been crazy, too. Anybody got anything else on the Olympic Games?
This ain't new to me. Obviously, as a track guy, I watch the Olympics all the time, and so being excited by these other events ain't new. Like, you missed the whole scandal about the table tennis from last Olympics. If you just now getting into it, like, Cats was they was flopping. Like, they were intentionally losing just so they wouldn't have to face certain teams. Like, it was a big deal. Like, yeah, man, these other events, because, like, competition is competition. And Cats want to win, so, yeah. I'm glad you're just now finding it, but I'm glad you're finding it.
Yeah, they got
Yeah, because the one dude got hit in table tennis because his paddle had metal in it or something.
Oh, see. I watch a lot of this stuff on mute because I'm working on it, but I didn't hear about that, but that's crazy. But I can see it. Like, the team badminton, man. Like, it's phenomenal to watch. It's action-packed. Bodybuilder, you been watching any Olympics?
We have a friend of ours there in town, and she's big into it. But, you know, we don't have TV channels anymore. I haven't watched it in forever. But for the most part, I don't watch a lot of sports anyway.
You got to come over and watch the judo. You are like these big chicks out here tussling.
I do like that kind of stuff because it's all over YouTube. Like I said, they're bad motherfuckers, male or female. I won't entangle with them.
Look, I don't want no problem with the heavyweight division. I feel like the middleweight division, I got the size, I'll be all right. But this heavyweight judo people, I don't want no problem, man or woman.
We're going back to fighting the bear thing, aren't we?
Look, DJ, he's tired. Look, there's beach volleyball right now. You see them in bikinis, they don't look that great. But wait till they show the indoor volleyball. I don't know what it is about the pants. It's got to be the pants, right? Because I'm sure all these women are beautiful. They're all got great souls and all that stuff. But for some reason, volleyball shorts accentuate the booty. It's just like heels. Like, heels.
I'm mad you're just not finding this out, dude. Oh, wait, you said you was into it in college. I actually watch collegiate volleyball all the time. I mean, partly for that reason, because, yeah, it's pleasing to the eyes.
Now, you're talking about the indoor volleyball, right?
Yeah.
Indoor volleyball got the women with the asses. Beach volleyball, they all got long backs.
Because they're on the beach all the time.
But you would think, and that's a whole nother question. DJ C-Sire was telling me about how, like, you know, if we're getting to the serious aspect of it, women are forced to wear certain types of pants that men aren't. And I think that's kind of fucked up. Like, if we want to talk about, like, women's rights and all that stuff, you know, the fact that men can wear whatever they deem is comfortable, I don't know. Them men rugby shorts are kind of short. Like, it's a little disgusting, but I'm sure chicks will like it.
I mean, I would push back on saying forced, but because there's a whole gymnastics women's team who are wearing the same uniform as the men for that same reason. Like, I wouldn't say forced. Like, if you say, no, we wearing this, then you're going to be able to wear that.
No, I think DJ Cesari can answer, but she found an article that was saying that women were trying to fight because the rugby rules women had were forced to wear. What was it? But women were forced to wear a certain garment and men weren't. But she can't.
More than one sport. I hope they never get beach volleyball sucks.
Would you say bodybuilder?
Well, even for the beach volleyball, you know, the bikini bottoms, there's rules within their book that it can't be more than like 10 centimeters from the inside of her butt, shit like that. I mean, it's made to be, the rules are made to make them visual things because there is that aspect. You can't ignore that.
Now, is it the same thing with men? Because the men have shirts on, but I would assume
no. They just need a tank top.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, the rugby shorts on dudes are uncomfortably short. It's got to be
that's new style.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm seeing right, motherfuckers wearing John Stockton's all over town.
That's the thing. A lot of kids these days are wearing short shorts. And I don't get it, Gabriella Wood.
Larry Bird was a great b-ball player, but he was an ugly motherfucker with short ass shorts.
Hey, so speaking of Olympics, I saw Russia got suspended. When did Jay-Z and them started participating in the Olympics? So they got this thing called the Rock in the Olympics, and it's the Russians, but the Russians got suspended. Does anybody know what the hell is going
on? They're Russians, but they're not Russia.
Yeah, Russia got suspended, but certain Russian athletes are still allowed to compete. The IOC is just a joke. Basically, they're a joke, and this is just showing that they're a joke.
Yeah, that's crazy. I keep watching. They were saying that, Russians got suspended because when they were in the Olympics in Russia, people were testing positive for drugs, and the Russians were like, "Yeah, we're gonna give you that clean piss." And so they were suspended from the Olympics. But there's Russians in this Olympics, and they're just under the rock. And I just feel like if I was a Russian and I had the internet, every time I won, I would throw up the Jay-Z and Dame Dash Rockefeller sign.
Put the diamonds up.
Well, they're singing a song that translates to Russia forever because you can't play the Russian national anthem. So now the athletes are just singing this, like, Russian pride song. So it's backfiring on the IOC because they tried to, like, be fair, but it's stupid. Like, Russia, like, I don't know if you heard exactly what happened when they got caught cheating. Like, these cats was egregious with it. Like, they built a building next to the testing site and drilled a hole through the wall. And when the testing site was closed, they would go through the hole into the building where the testing site is and swap out Russian samples. Like, they weren't just like, here, take this into the bathroom when you pee. No, they drilled a hole to fit a human through the wall. And then they was ruthless with it. They even cheated in the Paralympics.
That's not funny.
Yes, they got caught doping in the Paralympics.
It's so fucked up.
No.
But this is a country that literally turned women into men in the 70s. They literally turned women into men because they're used to testosterone and shit like that. They don't give a fuck. They're worse than we are.
I was going to say, because that's happening every day now.
and the IOC thinking they're trying to be fair, like, all right, we're not going to allow Russia to compete in this year's Olympics, but we're going to let athletes who haven't tested positive and got a certain amount of clean results, they can compete under the Russian Olympic Committee. Like, stop it. Stop it. You turning Vladimir Putin into some type of martyr. These people are just getting more Russian pride. Man, they're going to be doing the same shit again going in the future. They're just going to find another way to not get caught.
And this goes back to what you talked about on Saturday with the African female runners and them being excluded because of their testosterone levels. It's a two-tiered fucking system.
Yeah, absolutely. I just marvel at the fact that, like, all right, so how can I say this without being sounding too ignorant? Like, if I was competing against a Russian, my trash talk game would be at such a high level. I would just be like, yo, where's your flag? Like, who are you here for? Who are you? Like, I would make the Russian so pissed that he would have to try to poison me.
See, you're so full of shit, because what you would do is make friends with him, and after you guys did your fucking event, you'd have a beer with the motherfucker outside, and you'd be friends for life.
I know. I am talking shit, because I do love pretty much it. But my opening statement was like, where's your flag at? I know you got it somewhere. That's how we start the conversation. Yeah, absolutely.
I bet they have a bottle of vodka.
Yeah, and if they did, I'm their best friend. All right, so I guess that's my Olympic take. Shout out to all the women wearing rugby shorts under your own, what do you call it? Not admission, but under your own accord in volleyball shorts.
Volition.
Shout out to all the women wearing volleyball. There you go. Shout out to all the women wearing volleyball shorts and rugby shorts.
But you know what?
Phenomenal.
Even like with the West German gymnasts who are wearing full body suits, I'm sorry, thick as thick, and you're wearing shit like that, you still look thick as fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
That ain't what you're wearing, it's what you got.
Yeah, but and that's why I'm amazed that these beach volleyball women they don't look great, which is just amazing to me. But, you know, maybe it's because of their sport, you know. Just like, you know, all gymnasts and swimmers got big-ass backs. Like, I don't want no problem with a woman that can just, like, you know, like, deadlift me. So that's,
you're describing my marriage.
I know,
right? That's a hell of a thing to say.
We only got about 15 minutes left, so we gotta burn through some topics because we missed a couple weeks. Wu-Tang album was bought by some anonymous person from the government. The guy who owned the pharmacy, Big Farm Bro, who had bought the Wu-Tang
Martin
album.
Martin Shkreli.
Yeah, Martin Shkreli.
But isn't it a forgery?
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, he got jammed up or whatever, and they say he had to get that back.
Well, the government
part of his
took
tax
his assets. Yeah, the government took a lot of his assets to pay off the debt he owes. So apparently somebody bought this Wu-Tang album. So my question is, do any of us think that Wu-Tang album's any good? Blur, do you think that album
it worth it.
That sold for $2 million is any good?
I'm a RZA fan. I trust in RZA as a businessman. I believe that the Wu-Tang has pride, so I don't know if it's going to be a bad album. But it sounds like, from what I understand, RZA just kind of put it together himself. You know, he had verses from people, and he just put it together. So, I don't think it's bad, because you get Meth rapping, you get Raekwon rapping, I don't think you're going to really get a bad album, but yeah, maybe not the
There's
best.
Some bad Wu albums. There's some bad Wu albums. DJ C. Siren, do you think that album's any good?
I think it's probably trash. My assumption is it's, like, bad. Like, it's really cool that it's in a little, like, all-silver container. Like this whole oak and all that. I think that's the only thing that makes it valuable.
And it's carbon frozen.
Well, they were saying that
it's the only album ever made.
They're questioning that now, because between being in the hands of Martin Shkreli and the feds and everything, they were like, I would be surprised if someone made a copy between that, because too many hands started changing.
You think someone from the feds made a copy?
I think so.
See, that's my problem with law enforcement. They keep acting like we have to follow the law, when they be fucking the law up too. You know how many people...
Wait a minute. Hold. Did they say it was open? Because they said dude never opened it.
Nah, he played it. He was on Instagram a couple of years ago before he got in jail and was playing the music, playing snippets for people. It's definitely been open. And the snippets didn't sound bad, honestly. But we'll go to you, Pink Gators. Do you think that Woo album's any good?
Well, if it was open, it ain't worth shit now. I mean, I'm not really a Wu-Tang fan, but if the album was all that great and it sold for $2 million, if it was that great, they could have made 1,000 copies and made $100 million.
Okay. Bodybuilder, what you got?
Oh, shit. I am not.
You know what? Who makes the value? Who makes the judgment of what it's worth? All right, Wu-Tang Clan. I'm familiar with what they do. I'm not super familiar with their specific shit. But it's Wu-Tang Clan or a piece of art or a car. Who determines the value of that?
Whoever buys it.
Exactly.
Somebody bought it for
$2 million. It's only worth what it's worth to somebody.
But do you think the album is good, though? You're right. Because it's a one-of-one, as we think of right now, because, you know, Pink Gators and DJ C. Sire might be right. Somebody could have made a copy. Right now, we know it's a one-of-one versus a collection of one of the most iconic rap groups of all time. And someone bought it for $2 million. My question is, do you think that music is any good? Like, does one-of-one make it worth $2 million? Or does the quality of music make it worth $2 million?
It's neither. It's what people decide make it worth $2 million. That's completely separated from whether it's good music or not.
True.
Because what they're paying for is not about the music. It's about having the only one.
All right. New York. That's your home team, man. I know it's a little bit before your before your generation, but what do you think about this Wu-Tang album? Do you think it might be any good, or do you think it's trash?
Say it might be. I don't even know. I never heard of it, so I can't even give an opinion about it. I mean, it might be good, it might not. I mean, that's a gamble. It's a 50-50 chance on that. But I mean, like, I ain't paying no $2 million for an album. I'm buying that bootleg right out the corner store.
What should it be done within 15 minutes of it coming out?
Okay. All right. So rapid fire, we got about 5 minutes. Are y'all excited for the
album? Hold it, though. My thing is this, though. When they cut the album, most artists, when they hear the album, when it's complete or CD or whatever you want to call it, when it's done, most of them honestly realize whether or not it's a smoker. So if they cut that album and whoever cut it, and they listen to it, and if it was that much of a smoker, don't you think the business side of them would have said, well, I can make more money selling this album to billions of people than just trying to sell the one-time album?
Well, that was the thing about this album. When they talked about, they did a special on the Wu-Tang Clan, and when they talked specifically about making this album, none of them heard the album. They were only provided with the background music. They were asked to supply their verses for a certain amount of money, and they've never heard the compilation of what the album sounded like. So none of them, from what the documentary said a couple of years ago, have even heard this album. There's only two people that heard it. RZA and some dude named Silver Ring from India, who's like an honorary Wu-Tang member that none of the Wu-Tang likes. That's a whole nother story. So only two
it's
people
like
are
mother
hurt and Martin Scorsese. What'd you say?
It's like a mother-in-law.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. RZA's part of Wu-Tang. So if he heard it and he knew this thing was jumping off the chain, did he have any say in whether or not it's a one album? Or, yo, man, we need to make billions of copies of these so we can make this money because this shit is hot.
I mean, the way music is selling nowadays, if you make one copy and you get $2 million for it, you're probably one of the smartest businessmen out there. You made one copy, you got $2 million, you don't have to worry about it. Artists aren't selling $2 million worth of copies anymore.
Right, but I'm saying if you're talking about Wu-Tang splitting $2 million, them motherfuckers going to fight each other.
Right, but if you're talking about making this music available to everybody, it still ain't going to sell 2 million copies.
Yeah.
You're hitting one. I don't know if a Wu-Tang album is making $2 million nowadays. I don't think.
You know,
I don't know when the last.
This circumstance
go ahead,
is exactly where an NFT comes into play. But that kind of exploded anyway.
Yeah. And that's basically what this is. It's just they treat it as like an art piece. I don't know. But
right,
hey, man,
exactly.
We got to get out of here. So we got to get through some topics real quick. DJ C. Siren, do you care about the Kanye West's new album?
Oh, man. It's difficult. With all the shenanigans of the past year, I said I'm boycotting, and I'm going to stick with my boycott, and no, I don't care.
Pink Gators, you care about Kanye West's new album?
Hell no.
Blur, you care about it?
I think Kanye West is like rap's Tiger Woods. Like, as long as whenever he does something, people are going to come out and support and check it out just because of what he used to do in the past. I mean, I'm not really here for gospel Kanye, though. Not me personally.
New York, New York.
I mean, I appreciate the artistry that goes into it. I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm not rushing to get to it, but I'll probably listen to it.
Bodybuilder.
I don't even care about Kanye.
I ain't laughing.
I mean, for me,
he's just a silly
Kanye
dude.
Has earned. Oh, go ahead, bodybuilder.
He's just a silly guy. He's too. He bought into the whole Kanye thing. Like, he's not the first, but he bought into himself, and so he completely became what he wasn't originally.
Yeah, I mean, in that same breath, Kanye has made such great music that I always give it a listen. But I can't say I'm excited for it. Like, it's not something that when it drops, I'll be, like, I'm waiting for it to drop. I'm staying up so I can listen to it. But because he's made so much great music, I'll always give it a listen. I'll never not listen to anything Kanye does because he's that good of a... of an artist, but I think the days of me can't wait till he drops, I think that's past me. But, you know.
But when you're putting out press releases that you're staying in a stadium to finish it, all right, you're so worried about it that you're putting out this bullshit to keep the attention on you. If your shit is tight and you know it's good, you don't need that.
Exactly.
But that's what drops
sells,
though.
I feel like nowadays, I feel like in today's society, when it comes to the entertainment world, attention is the thing that people crave. I think because we're older, we appreciate, you know, put out something dope and you'll get the attention. I think the new age people are like, nah, you get the attention, and who cares about what the product is because you'll get the money just from the attention. I just think it's flipped because we're older. Just my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, hell, Michael Jackson and Prince are selling off the joint, and they did.
Say what?
Michael Jackson and Prince are selling off the joint, their albums, and they did.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I haven't even heard Prince's new album yet, but they said it's the shit.
Yeah, we're going to. I listened to it. I didn't even know he had a new album. All right. So what else we got? Quick topic. So one of the discussions we had for the off ramp this weekend, and Blur, you missed it. because you weren't able to join us in New York. You missed it too. Do you have a problem with your girl pumping gas?
Oh, shit.
Really got 5 minutes, so we got to make it quick. Blur, you got a problem with your girl pumping gas? With you in the car.
Oh, okay, you had to clarify that. A problem is kind of a tricky word, but no, I don't let my girl pump gas. If I'm there, I'm going to pump the gas. I teach my son the same thing. Like, if he's in the car with his mom, he pumps the gas for her.
Why?
Chivalry, I guess. Chivalry. I don't know how you put that word into, like, a verb, but yeah, it's just chivalry. You do certain things. Like, you don't put the women in your life or the women around you smelling like gas or smelling like, I mean, dirty fingernails, because you want them to still be presented as, I guess, ladylike or feminine. You want their hands to be clean. You don't want them smelling like gas. Whereas a man, that's cool. You're supposed to work with your hands. You're supposed to have callous, dirty hands and fingernails. And smelling like gas is a regular day for you.
So because he's a man, he has to pump gas.
We're not digging for oil.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do y'all pump gas?
Yeah,
like,
it's already been
fine. Why is your kid's hands getting so dirty pumping gas? Does he not know how the gas station works?
It's a horrible gas pumper.
Why are y'all smelling like gas? I need you to not press the button until it's already in the hole.
It clicks off before you take it out. Like.
It's just like sex. Don't let it go until you're already in there.
Here you go.
But the question that I had this weekend, Blur, was, if women expect men to pump gas because we're men, what should men expect from women? I just want to get your quick opinion on
it. I think traditionally men expect women to, like, cook for the most part. I would say probably cook and clean or maintain the home, I guess, whatever maintaining in terms of. But I still think those are the traditional women roles, cooking and cleaning.
So if you're teaching your son he should pump gas for the women in his life, are you also teaching your son that the women in his life should cook and clean the house?
No.
No, I would say, again, it's not necessarily should, but, yeah, he cooks for himself. He's 17, so he knows how to cook, and because he's 17, he has chores, so he cleans up too. So, I mean,
so why
you do for yourself, but if you're, as a man, if you want to be treated like a woman, yeah, you can be treated like a woman. Bend over, but you're a man, so don't compare yourself to a woman.
No, it's not about comparing to a woman. It's about gender roles and gender differences. If you're saying, yo, you're the man, you should pump gas, what are you teaching him? Well, she's the woman. What should she do?
Don't worry about what she do. Worry about the dough.
He's right, though.
Go ahead, bodybuilder.
Well, all right, if we pull up to the gas station, first of all, I'm driving. She doesn't drive if I'm there, and I pump the gas. But if we came out to go somewhere, and she goes, I really want to fucking drive. It's like, all right, drive. I don't give a fuck. We pull up to the gas station. It's like, I really want to pump this gas. Well, I'll pump the fucking gas. I don't care. But normally, if we pull up, I'm going to fucking pump the gas, and I'm going to drive. But I don't expect other things from her because women have been doing the shit for fucking 5,000 years anyway. We're just stepping up.
I don't know if women have been pumping gas for 5,000 years.
Oh, come on.
I give women all the credit in the world. Look,
right?
Once I see my son come out of my wife, I give women all the credit in the world. Childbirth is the craziest shit. I don't know why any woman would want to have a kid. That shit is awful.
Or a
I give women.
But that's just the beginning.
I give all the credit in the world. So if a woman says, yo, I'm going to have your child, pump the gas for me for the rest of my life, that's a good deal. But if I'm using a condom with you, you should pump your own gas. But we got to get out of here.
But you don't.
It's been a fun night. We got to close up, man. It's been great to get back on the off-ramp. It's been great to get back on a regular scheduled program. It's always good to hear from Pink Gators, Bodybuilder, New York, Blur, DJ C. Simon. I know I didn't get to some calls tonight because I just kind of wanted to keep it low-key tonight since it was our first week back. But we got closing up. It's great to get back on the show. It's great to get back to our regular schedule program, and we'll talk to you next week. So before we get out of here, I always ask everybody if they got anything to say to the crowd. Pink Gators, you got anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Good listening to y'all. Much love, man. Peace.
All right. Bodybuilder, anything you want to say to the people?
First time I actually tuned in your show, I appreciate being allowed to be part of it. This was a good time.
Hey, you're always welcome, man. I always appreciate your opinion and your conversation. You're highly intelligent, so you're always welcome, man.
I don't know about that, but you're a good guy.
Yeah, my man. DJ Cesar, anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Good night.
All right, what you got?
I'm trying to give people some movie recommendations based off our conversation tonight with the Olympics and Simone Biles. Everybody should go check out the movie Driven. It's from like early 2000s with Sylvester Stallone. It's a good depiction of how like not being mentally involved in your sport. If you lose focus, how you could really lose your life. So Driven is about race car drivers and losing focus.
Okay, we'll have a Driven review next week. I'll watch it. So before we get out of here, man, I just want to say thank you again to everybody that came in town this weekend. Such a great weekend. Thank you to all the family and friends. It's just the fact that I had so many folks fly in, drive in, take a train in, walk in. Like, it was really dope to just sit down and just rap to a bunch of people. I feel bad because we're in the middle of a pandemic and all y'all came in town to travel.
They were all outdoor events.
But yeah, that's why we kept it outdoor. That's why we kept it funky in that way. But I mean, it's rare that I do anything for myself. It's rare that people do anything for me. I mean, my wife does a bunch of stuff for me all the time just because she's my wife. But it was truly humbling, and it was truly truly loving the fact that so many people, you know, did so much and sacrificed so much just to come. Shout out to my wife again, who planned everything, who did all the heavy lifting. So really had a good time, man. And it's one of those things where you really appreciate, you really got to grow to appreciate to seeing folks again. You know, me moving away from Jersey at a young age, COVID happening, like you get used to me being just a happy person, like my man Bodybuilder. Like, I'm kind of cool with just sitting in the house all the time, just kicking it with the wife and the kid. But it was really, really heartwarming to have all these folks come around and just celebrate my 40th birthday. So thank you, everybody. I know a lot of y'all listening tonight because you hit me up earlier. That's a tall bitch. Jesus. What is she, 6'6"? Yeah, I'm still watching judo. So, New York, the floor is yours. Yeah, if somebody watches this, I don't know. See, that's the other thing about the Olympics. They just put three letters up there. Like, we know the abbreviations for these motherfuckers. Like, put the whole fucking name of the country up there. Stop making this joke. But Ukraine versus
Algeria.
One chick is about 7 foot, and the other chick is about 5'2". And they are fighting, and it's phenomenal. But New York, the floor is yours, my brother.
Look, I ain't got much to say tonight other than, you know what I mean, stay safe, protect your health, protect your wealth, drink water, save the bees, don't litter, wash your pillows regularly, because, you know what I mean, a lot of people don't brush their teeth before they go to sleep at night, so that bad breath will seep through that pillow, so please wash your pillows. Other than that, you know what I mean, be safe out here. Don't catch this black gonorrhea going around.
My man, always good having y'all. We're back on our regular scheduled time program, so we'll see y'all next week.
Hey, you know about that? I'm going to get
I'm in the back, changing my outfit. We said break, we was in the habit. I said break.